Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Me and my best friends will sit in the living room for 7 hours. I'll yell out an NFL player and somebody will yell out what college he went to. 7 hours, that's all we do. I'm like, Brady Quinn. And somebody's like, yes!
Jeremy White.
Ryan Leaf.
Let's go!
And Joe DiBiase.
Eric Decker.
Let's go!
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Me and my buddies don't play that game as often as we play the game where it's just, hey, name a receiver from, like, 2007. And then it's, hey, Bernard Berrien. Bam. Now you go. Muhammad Massaquoi. That's just random football players.
07 receivers is not my wheelhouse. I was going to jump in with you there. But
what about 2011 receivers? Would that be better? 2012 receivers? 2013? When would you be able to do it? When would you be able to play the game? What year?
Honestly, like 2015 or 16. I didn't get into football until the end of... Like, when I got into fantasy football is when I got into football. Like, the end of high school.
Interesting.
Like, senior year of high school.
Fantasy football is what brought you in?
Yeah, like, I obviously, like, paid attention to it, but I never was, like...
Hardcore.
Yeah.
All right.
That was me for hockey. Like, if we did this with, like, Sabres forwards or any
hockey
players from, like, the early 2000s, I'd be all over it.
Yeah.
We could do Eric Rasmussen.
Yeah, that game's easy, too. It is funny, like, what brings people to a sport, because it could be fantasy. It could be anything. I got into F1 probably only for, like, a year, because then... Max Verstappen just started winning every race and it wasn't interesting anymore. But I got into it for like a year, and Jeremy and Howard got into it too. Why? Because the documentary. And I feel like I'm starting to get more into college football now, because I've only had the college football game for like a couple days, by the way. But I already can feel it. I got it like a couple days ago.
Nice.
Like 2 days ago, 3 days ago.
Are you into a dynasty yet?
I'm into a dynasty. I joined the dynasty. We are the head coach of the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors.
Wow.
We're ready to tear up the Mountain West.
You and I would be division rival or conference rivals then.
Mountain West?
Yeah, I'm playing as Wyoming.
All right.
So
there you go. So video games can bring you into a sport. Fantasy can bring you into a sport. So yeah, there's nothing wrong with that at all. I want to get to some fantasy a little bit later today, just a tad. No Jeremy today. It's Jeremy and Joe here on WGR. Joe DiBiase and Nate Geary today. We got a lot to get to. We've got Sal coming up at 7. We've got Joe Marino for his weekly visit at 7:30. And we are going to bring you at least a good chunk, if not all, of Sabres general manager Kevin Adams, who will speak to the media today at 8 o'clock. Might depend how long the GM goes. Sometimes those things can go, you know, over an hour, depending. And the reason Adams is speaking is because today is day one of Sabres training camp. And I do want to do mostly Bills today. We'll have Adams for you. Paul, by the way, will stop in at 9:30 a little bit later on. He'll actually join while Sabres practice will be going on. So I'm very much looking forward to talking to Paul and just sitting back and listening to pucks hitting the boards and skates on the ice and sticks slash. So ready. Just for the noise. Give me the white noise of hockey in the background. That'll be cool. But you know, again, I don't want to do too much Sabres off the top here. We got time to do that. The Bills are rocking and rolling, just getting going in their season. But I don't feel like fans are very enthusiastic at all going into this year. I don't feel the juice. I don't feel like people are all that excited. Hey, today's the start of training camp. And I feel like 90% of fans are just like, oh, here we go again. It's almost like a gasp. Like, oh, a sigh. All right, let's go again. Should I get excited? Should I think they could do it? Can this be the year? Hey, one of the years that we don't expect them to do it is probably going to be the year that they actually do it. So, I don't know. How enthusiastic are you? How enthusiastic are you, Nate? Today's day one of training camp. And by the way, hockey training camp is training camp's today. Bam, preseason's on Saturday. And then the regular season begins 2 weeks from Friday. It's like they just show up and like everything just starts happening.
I mean, yeah.
Somewhat enthusiastic.
Excited for a new season.
There you go.
I don't know.
That is a great job right there.
I don't know that I'm excited about a particular player, a particular game.
Lindy being back is still cool.
It brings us like a level of like, I don't know. It gives you that like, you're bringing the past up a little bit, right? That like nostalgia a little bit.
It's a nostalgia play.
But
it's a nostalgia play while also, like we talked about this when they hired him, nostalgia play while also probably at the same time giving them the type of coach they needed.
Yeah, and I also don't think like the offseason was busy, but not busy in the way that I think a lot of fans wanted it to be. They didn't make that move that like you would think a team that was like thinking that they were really making a playoff push needed to make.
Yeah.
But I do think they did some things that I think we've all been... this is the hard part about the Sabres, is they did stuff, right, which is add to the bottom six.
Yeah.
I mean, holy cow, did they... I think the one thing they flipped is their speed. Their team speed, I think, took a big time. They appear harder to play against. And maybe they will be, maybe they won't be. But I think because we didn't get that, like... big time move, the Stamkos, the like whatever, even if it was an older player that maybe is past his prime, we didn't get the chance to really get excited and rally around like an idea. Really what our idea is, what it's always been, which is like sort of feeding someone something that they've been asking for a really long time. And once you get it, you're just like,
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks for giving me the thing at face value, the absolute bare minimum thing we've been asking for 7 years.
I ordered my meal at 6 o'clock.
Yes.
It's now 8:30.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Right. That's kind of and also
it's cold.
And it's cold. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. New stuff. The scoreboard's new. There's going to be a new mural walking in. I guess we don't really. We don't know what their plans are, which I guess is a little strange, but I'm excited for something, whatever that's going to be on the way walking in. So the arena, you know, little upgrades here and there. Maybe that'll continue into next year. We'll see. Hockey back today. Kevin Adams at 8 o'clock. We'll carry that live here on WGR, at least a chunk of it, and then we'll have Paul in the final hour at 9:30 from the ice. Well, from the stands next to the ice. I don't think Paul will be standing on the ice when he joins us. So we'll get that all in a little bit later on. Preseason game number one is Saturday. It's almost like an off-season week because the stretch between Bills games is so long. Thursday to Monday.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Like, we're still 5 days away from the game.
They kind of needed it, to be honest.
The Bills did?
Yeah, they needed a little rest.
Because of injuries and...
Today
Sean McDermott talks, and you know, he'll update us or not update us, but he'll talk about guys that are injured. And who are we really just waiting to hear about? Is it just Terrell Bernard? Taron Johnson, too, right?
Taron Johnson.
He missed the game against
and
Miami.
11 days in between is a nice little thing.
And he didn't get placed on IR.
I came prepared with a question today for the group, a group question for a group project.
A group project?
Yeah, kinda.
All right.
And I'm sure like this will be a decent talking point throughout the morning. But I've been thinking about this specific question for a couple of days since the end of the game. We've had time to reflect. It's been a few days.
Yeah.
I don't know where you stood going into this season. I thought that maybe there was a chance that they really wouldn't skip a beat and they would kind of just be the same team. But I think more of me thought that this was going to be an early struggle for them. And maybe by October they hit their bearings, and maybe because of how late that is, that it might be too late because of the schedule in November. Like that it's just really hard. And then week one happened and they struggled at times with Arizona. They got it. They made it. It happened. It worked. Like they won. But especially towards the end, it just felt like, man, they almost gave this one away. And I don't know what Arizona is. And now
they did
a week later,
they looked great.
Arizona's offense looked damn near unstoppable.
Kyler Murray looked like that was video game Kyler Murray.
Yes.
And not the one where he like doesn't study the playbook. Like the one where he's, you know, you're playing Madden with Kyler Murray and you just run around for 20 seconds and then throw it to an open guy. Like he was unbelievable against the Rams.
So this is the question I've been asking myself for like 4 days now. Are the Bills good, or is the rest of the league not as good as we thought?
I think the latter is more where I'd want to put my chips down. That This happens, maybe this happens to some extent every year, where you get to training camps and even the preseason, and everybody's feeling great, right? Everybody just got back, right? Everybody's back from vacation, back to work. We're looking at the optimistic side of things everywhere. Almost every team is looking at the optimistic end of things. And then the season starts, and I'm glad this kind of goes right into something I wanted to do with you today. This could be part of the group project here. Was me and Jeremy toyed the segment idea called the Foe Down, where we just we look at like how's everyone doing on the Bills schedule?
Yeah.
How's everyone doing right now? Because how do we see everybody right now?
They started the season with almost a consensus that they had the hardest schedule in football.
Yes. Absolutely. By the numbers and by just looking at it. It was man, they just don't have a break.
It's funny because you hear the same people that say that go into the season saying, wow, they have the toughest schedule in football, are also the same exact people 2 weeks into the season that say, well, every season's different.
Yeah.
So you can't use last year. And yet that's how you project the next season's schedule. It's the cyclical nature of the NFL. You talk about football until you have football, and then you realize everything you've been talking about is kind of pointless.
Right.
All off season.
So let's do this real quick. Let's look at how do the opponents on their schedule look through only 2 weeks? Because it did look tough. And right now, I feel like I could pick holes in almost every team they play. It doesn't even look that bad to me. Yeah.
It really did.
Okay, so Jacksonville is 0-2. And
I've got thoughts about them, but
do you know that they've lost, I think it's 7 of 8?
Seven straight.
I think it's 7 of 8. I think Lawrence has lost 7 straight.
You're right, because he didn't start one of those games to the injury.
I think their only win in their last 8 games, C.J. Beathard played. Yeah, so Lawrence has a 7-game losing streak. Baltimore, I mean,
not as good as I thought.
They can't block,
and losing Patrick Queen hurt them more, and Mike McDonald.
Mike McDonald
was a big
one.
Loss for them.
I liked him a lot. I got yelled
They lost Mike McDonald and their linebackers coach and secondary coach, who is in Miami, not doing too hot.
And they lost, what, 4 linemen or 3 linemen?
Yep.
And by the way, if you can't block right now against the Bills, like that defensive line is going to eat you alive. Yes. Houston looks great, right?
Yep.
I don't even think I would want to try to poke holes in them right now. Like they look great. Stroud looks amazing. Nico Collins might be a top 7 receiver in football going right now. The Jets.
They do not look like a Super Bowl contender, I'll tell you that.
They do not look like that. They look like a team that has a game manager, a quarterback, which is an upgrade, but isn't that how he looks to you? Did you watch a lot of that game on Sunday? Were you more like red zone or something?
We're talking about the Jets game?
On the Jets-Titans game on Sunday?
I did not see Jets-Titans.
Okay. He looked like a game manager. Everything is quick. Everything is under center. There's a lot of play action, which is fine. Like that play action is great. But I don't know, man. Like, that is not Aaron Rodgers of 3 years ago.
No.
That is not, no way.
We've said this, though.
I know.
I knew that he would not be. He was going to be the player that he was in 2022.
Yep.
Always. Yep. That's who he was going to be. You don't go back in time.
Yeah.
You don't. And I know that's what every New York Jet media person, Mike Greenberg, and the people that talked about these guys all year, talked about them as if they were getting the 2020 version of Aaron Rodgers. And you just don't do that in pro sports. You don't get older and revert back. Like, all I know is I'm watching Deshaun Watson, and he doesn't look anything like the player he was. And he's 8 years younger. You can't turn back the clock in years, in a long stretch off of the NFL. It's hard to step back and just be great. And I think it was ignorant and borderline like a little crazy to me that was the presumed conversation all offseason.
Yeah. They got outgained, by the way, against the Titans 300-265.
Their defense, and there's another thing.
Yeah.
Their defense can't be great every single year. It changes year to year.
Yep.
They're not dominant on defense right now.
You know why? Because they cannot get a pass rush right now.
They can't, and they just lost their best pass rusher for the season.
Yeah, and Hassan Reddick is holding them over a bit. I mean, he's got all the leverage.
Gets better every day.
So we'll see. Maybe they sign him by the time they play the Bills. Or maybe they don't. And I don't think they have much of a pass rush. And right, Rodgers can't really move that much. So
at all.
Jets,
and Cousins.
They do not intimidate me. By the way, they play tomorrow against New England. That's Thursday Night Football. Tennessee. I mean, Will Levis is going to hand you the football, I guess, every week in the funniest way possible.
Yeah.
Amazing. And the coach is just like, doesn't care if he's in the media, doesn't care if he's in on TV. Like, he is just after Will Levis. Like, what on camera, what the bleep are you doing?
Yeah.
On
he's
Sunday.
An idiot, basically.
Yeah. So Tennessee, that's a home game. The Bills will be a big favorite there. So, like, I'm through, by the way. That's, like, the next month of the season. And, I mean, I'll give Baltimore their credit. Like, their respect. That's only really two games I'm, like, that concerned about. You can lose to anybody. It's the NFL and even the Bills. We don't fully know, like, hey, what's their passing offense look like when they need it? They haven't really needed it that much. So that's a month of the season where it doesn't really look as strong as you thought. At Seattle, Seahawks look kind of rough, right? Like, they barely beat the Broncos, who can't do anything, and then they beat the Patriots in overtime.
And I was listening to Amy Lawrence on the way in.
I did pick them to make the playoffs, so.
I was listening to Amy Lawrence in the way in, and the guy that she was talking to that covers Seattle made a great point about how they're still not exactly where they want to be defensively in terms of the scheme, because it's still really early and they're not, it's not the complexity of Mike McDonald's scheme hasn't had time to take effect yet.
Okay.
But thinks it will by November, they'll be humming defensively. And man, when he's saying this, I'm thinking to myself, man, the Bills defense is playing good, albeit not having their top two linebackers right now, and also not their three best players aren't playing defensively.
Yeah.
And they're still doing, I think, really some solid things when everything gets back together and they've had time to fully adapt to Sean McDermott's scheme with all these new faces. They could be really good defensively. And even if you want to run against the Bills have been begging teams for 5-6 years since Sean McDermott's in here. He's been begging teams to run the ball against him.
Yeah. So I kind of think, but to your point, like by October 27th, the Seahawks are more well put together.
I agree.
Like,
but
yeah,
I still think that's a very, very winnable game. It's on the road.
Yeah, for sure.
In East to West Coast, that's the hardest trip they're going to have all year.
Tough game. Home Miami. Week 9, I mean, it's anybody's
Tua
guess.
Could be back, but what does that team look like in Week 9?
You can't guess. I will do it anyway. I feel like Tua's still not on the field by then, but who knows? Maybe he is. If it's Skylar Thompson, but even, if it is Tua, if it's Skylar Thompson, whatever. The Bills own Miami.
Yep.
Come on. At Indianapolis in week 10, the Colts look really bad, don't they? Anthony Richardson.
DeForest Buckner's out now.
And he's out too. They have, I saw Ben Solak said on a podcast yesterday I was listening to that the Colts have the worst secondary in football. So that's not good. And Richardson looks really erratic. He's kind of a rookie. I saw or heard that Richardson played only his fifth career road game on Sunday, including college.
That's crazy.
Fifth road game of his career. So he's very inexperienced. So, again, kind of like the Seahawks. Like, maybe he's more well put together by then, but right now, the Colts look like a team that could beat themselves because the quarterback is so up and down. The Bills then host the Chiefs in Week 11. It's the Chiefs. Then in Week 13, after a bye, they host San Francisco. Juggernaut, right? Those are two very tough games, back-to-back. Here's another one that I think has changed dramatically since the schedule came out, or since before the season. Week 14, the Bills are at the Rams.
I think that they could be healthy by then.
They could.
They should be healthy by then.
Or, let me throw out another potential, because you're right, Kupp and Nacua would be on track to be back by then. If the wheels are falling off for them, if they're 1-6 because they just can't. They have injuries on defense too. They lost their starting safety, John Johnson, to an injury. That if they're bad, couldn't you see like Matthew Stafford just like he's been dealing with nagging injuries? Like they just shut it down at some point and say, listen, we're 2-6, 2-7. Stafford's 36 years old. Let's shut it down here. Let's get through the season. Let's, you know, develop Stetson Bennett or whatever. I don't know. By week 14, I wonder if the wheels have fallen off for the Rams. Week 15 at the Lions. They lost on Sunday, but I'm still inclined to.
That's the one team I thought might be far and away the best team in the NFL. And Goff started slow. Their offense hasn't looked as sharp.
Mm.
But man, I think by the end of the season that they'll be that their defense has taken such a turn. I mean, Aiden Hutchinson, I think, is going to win. He is stepping into TJ Watt territory. And Brian Branch is, every time I turn the Lions on, he is making some sort of incredible play in the defensive backfield. He is as good of a safety as there is in the NFL, and he's young. I think by that time, the Lions will be the team that here's the thing. Week five, if the Bills win Monday night and they beat the Ravens Sunday night and they're 4-0 and Houston's 4-0. That could be that's the two best AFC teams, in my opinion, facing off against each other. The Bills could face the best team in the AFC more than once this year and the best team in the NFC more than once this year.
Mm-hmm.
That's still a really difficult schedule, but those teams maybe aren't as good as I originally thought.
Yeah. And then the final three games of the year, Patriots, Jets, Patriots. And even though, like, right, there's some teams early on in the Bills' schedule that if we compare to where we thought about them a month ago, it already looks different. New England, in a negative way, New England looks more competitive than we thought. Only two games.
They do.
Only two games, but they certainly look more competitive. They look like they're going to have a good defense all year, and they have a solid, I'm going to say solid, say like a responsible veteran quarterback in there that's not going to get them beat. So they can run the ball and they can play good defense. They'll be competitive. I don't think they'll be good. And still, to be fair, by then, you know, probably Drake May. It's probably, yes, Drake May by week 16 and 18.
I would agree with that.
Probably not worth even mention, like discussing like what's New England by then. It's anybody's guess. But I don't know. Like, as we look at their opponents and look at their schedule, especially in like the next month, everything looks a little softer than I think it did when all the stuff came out, when the Bills schedule came out, and when like win, you know, expected wins was out there, and like the Bills have the hardest schedule in the league. Maybe it's still up there, but I could poke holes in teams that I felt like I couldn't poke holes in a month ago. 803-0550 is the phone number. I got a question to get to you about running back that kind of relates to what's happening in Kansas City right now and here with James Cook through 2 weeks. We've got some hockey a little bit later on. Kevin Adams at 8 o'clock before that, though. Sal at 7. We'll check in with Sal for the first time this week. The Bills worked out some kickers.
Yes, they did.
Yesterday. We talked some Tyler Bass earlier in the week, and there it is. The Bills are working out kickers. So we'll get into what that means, and we'll talk with Joe Marino at 7:30 for some film breakdown as well. It's Joe DiBiase, Nate Geary. Jeremy White is off today. Stay tuned. Your phone calls are welcome at 803-0550 here on W.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
UGR.
Why would Pittsburgh trade him? If not for, unless it's a first-round pick, they're not going to trade him because their situation is good. Everybody knows you need two quarterbacks in this league.
Mm-hmm.
And so, no. But I'm telling you, you've seen it. What's the price of a starting quarterback in this league? It's a first-round pick. So the only way you make that move for Russell Wilson is if you're a team that has lost their starting quarterback and you think you are a playoff contending team. I don't know, is there one like that right now? There very well could be in Miami.
Rex Ryan.
Is he suggesting that that Russell Wilson would go for a first? Because that's nonsense.
That's lunacy. Everyone's playing that game right now. Like, hey, what quarterback can we trade to the Dolphins? Because they're a team with expectations. They're a team with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, and they're a team right now that has one of the most incompetent quarterbacks that's going to play football on Sunday. Skylar Thompson, we've seen him twice now. Once in limited action on Thursday, and then once in a playoff game. I mean, that guy has trouble even getting his team to the line of scrimmage, right? So, all right, Russell Wilson. You want to put Russell Wilson on the Dolphins? Fine. You know the idea actually I have liked the most? That is the Bryce Young idea.
Yes.
Because you tell me if I'm wrong. Isn't he Tua? Isn't he? I mean, he has not done it in the league, so in that way he's not. But there are Alabama quarterbacks that are undersized that are prioritizing accuracy and processing as like their skill set, right? Isn't that Tua?
I don't know. It's tough because...
Don't you think he could run that offense? Maybe that's the only... Ben Solak said this. This is the only offense maybe in the NFL that he could run is the Dolphins.
I don't know. I think that's really dramatic.
Or you think
dramatic.
You think he's so bad that just...
No, I just don't... I don't think he is that type of passer. Like, I also think that... And Mel Kiper, I thought, ranted this out really well yesterday, which was that you have a quarterback in his rookie year coming off of a really tough season, go into an offseason with a new head coach, a new offensive coordinator, a new offense, and he played one series in the preseason.
Right.
C.J. Stroud played in two games and something like eight total series over the preseason, and the Carolina Panthers were like, okay, they went down the field and the Bills' third stringers, we're good. We got everything we got needed done during the preseason done. Good. We're good to go. He got absolutely no time in the preseason to really go through. This is his preseason, the first 2 weeks. Now, it's been terrible. And I get it. To me, this move is way more a move to bench him because of the fan base, because they are losing their fan base. But
it could be their players too. Like Adam Thielen was losing his. Well, I mean,
To me that's
you got to go through a whole season though.
You're a young coach. You're saying you go and if you have to sit your veterans down and say, listen, like we're going to go through this a little bit. This is going to be a difficult situation for the next couple of weeks. I can't like to me. I just don't. I get a lot of people are applauding him for being a young coach and pulling the plug this early. But I just think you owed it to how much you spent on this player and how terrible the last 3 seasons of what you've done to acquire this player, to try everything you can to make it work. And I just don't think they tried very hard.
I hear you. I hear you. Like, I would want, in a vacuum, play the kid as long as you play him until you finally decide, like, there's nothing left to do here. Because what are you going to do with Andy Dalton? Right? Like, they're going to win and 5 games
just
max.
Like benching. Who are we having this conversation about recently?
Someone else being benched?
Yeah, someone like you being benched, like, that's it. Like, Deshaun Watson. Like, you once you bench him, short of Andy Dalton getting hurt, which is not out of the realm of possibility.
See,
you have, as a franchise, you've moved on. You're done.
That's where I wonder if this situation could be unique. Because this is part of the argument, I think, about him right now is he is not, like, there's nothing to be done there right now. Like, there's no improvement. There's no, the line in front of him, I guess they improved the receiving core a little bit, but it just looks so bad. It doesn't look like he's getting any better. So why not see if sitting him for a while and bringing him back into a better situation late in the year and see if he's any different. You're probably right, though. Like, the moment you say, we're benching him, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
But it probably should be over. It's that bad. I think, though, what might make this situation different and harder for just say, hey, just leave the kid in. They're not just bad. Like, they are as bad as, I don't think I've ever seen an NFL team this bad. I watched an 0-16 Lions team with a quarterback that ran out of the back of an end zone.
Yeah.
I watched an 0-16, the Browns went 0-16, didn't they? One year?
Yep.
With Hugh Jackson? Like, I saw that team. I think the Panthers are worse than both of those football teams. The Panthers, since week 10 of last year, week 10, that's all the way through week 18 and then the first 2 games of this season, they have had one lead.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And it lasted 10 seconds.
It's been really bad.
They have one lead in that stretch, week 10 to today, and the next play was a 75-yard touchdown against them. That's it. That's not NFL. That's like, what is that? That's Kent State. Right? Like, that's not an NFL franchise. So I almost wonder if it's so bad that, like, just we can't, there's nothing else we can do. We've got to do it. Yeah, that's the worst. That's the worst franchise in football right now. By the way, so that was a little bit on Tua from Rex Ryan there. Jeremy Jobe, Nate's in today. And that's not the only injury. There's a bunch of injuries in the league today. A.J. Brown is an injury worth tracking. He's got probably a couple weeks. Debo's out a couple of weeks. I want to ask you a question about running backs. Because this year, so far, what's the trend in the league? Everybody's running the ball more, right? Everybody, the pass rates are down. The passing yardage is down. Everything's down for passing. Everything is up for running. And the Bills are a part of that through 2 weeks. And James Cook has looked great.
He has.
Do you know the other team that is leaning into the run game more? It is the Chiefs. They've
kind of always been, though.
But it's even gone up even more this year, like in terms of how much they are feeding Pacheco. Isaiah Pacheco in his first 2 games, 37 attempts, and he is higher than Travis Kelce. He is second on the team in targets and receptions.
So
they're throwing him the football, and now he's out 6 to 8 weeks.
Yes, that's a big loss for Kansas City.
Right, that's what I was going to ask you. Like, are we at a point with running back and maybe this situation, like how unique is this one? Because this is kind of the comparable for the Bills and who we always compare them to. The Chiefs just lost their starting running back. Should we care?
They also, not only did they lose their starting running back, they're not going to get Hollywood Brown.
He's off of the year.
So they made I wouldn't say a big offseason move, but their offseason move is not going to come to fruition. So what they've added offensively, Joe, is Xavier Worthy.
At the moment, yeah.
That's what they've had.
And they've lost their running back.
Right.
And so, I was like, Carson Steele as an idea in the preseason, but as the unquestioned featured back
with Kareem Hunt. Does that move to the needle? No. Here's the thing. So I got to wax poetic about one thing, and then but before I even do that, talk about this really quick with the Chiefs. Is that their offensive line's worse than it was last year? And
left tackle looks rough for them.
Left tackle looks really rough for them.
Yep.
Offensive line's worse than they were last year. Pacheco's now out, and they've added one speed element in the wide receiver room. And I still think, maybe I'm an optimist here, that the league at some point, something's going to happen with Rashee Rice, and maybe they'll just wait until next year, but that has just not really been what the league has done in these situations. But maybe they'll do it because it's the Chiefs, right? Maybe they won't. We'll hear in October or November what's going to happen with him legally, and then they act and he gets suspended for, you know, five games or something. But like, to me, they have their offense right now is Rashee Rice, and Kelce has continued to look old. He looked old last year, but woke up in the playoffs. There's some talk that maybe he was dealing with a lingering knee issue all season that hampered him. He looks slow, and he doesn't look super... That team in general, now, they can wake up. They kind of started this way. They look sort of uninterested, don't they? Did you watch any of the game this weekend?
Yes, between the Chiefs and the Bengals.
They got interested at the end. Like, when it came close, they were like, okay, now we got to turn it on. They're the one team that, better than anybody, can just turn it on with a flip of a switch. But, like, you can't go all season doing that, where you need to get behind early or you're just going to flip a switch. But, like, there, to me, Andy Reid is unquestionably one of the best offensive play callers ever, if not the best one ever. They are single-handedly responsible for the flip in offense in the league. Like, go look at Patrick Mahomes' next-gen stats passing chart.
Yeah.
There are a couple of shots downfield. 30 or 40% of his throws are behind the line of scrimmage.
I think he's dead last in the NFL in average depth of target.
He has led the league in yards after the catch for like three of the last 4 years. That offense has always been sort of built like this, but it's more like this than ever. And what does the NFL do? It's a copycat league, right? What they've been so successful at is getting the ball in the hands of guys and going, and then not a lot of quarterbacks can create after, you know, like outside a structure like Mahomes, like Allen, like Lamar Jackson. But go look, and everyone's like, well, why is passing down? Running's up. Running, to me, is not up dramatically enough to say that this is simply a swing of the pendulum on running. This is not a running debate. This is a schematic passing debate about how teams have brought an offense with having too high to have their short passing game be an extension of the run game.
Right.
That's what this is now.
Right, because the targets to running backs is another thing that's up.
Right.
Which is, to your point,
completion percentage is up across the league. Yeah. Yards per attempt is down. Yards per completion is down. And it keeps coming down.
Yeah.
And to me, it's because everybody's watched what the Chiefs have done offensively, and now they're mimicking it across the board. And this is largely what has... And here's the difference between the pros and college, which I don't have to necessarily tell you as a listener if you watch a lot of football what the difference between pros and college is. But you'll keep hearing, and you've heard, well, this doesn't work like it did in college, which is you throw the ball to Xavier Worthy at the line of scrimmage and he just, you know, you get five lead blockers and he's gone for 75 yards. Those plays don't happen. The big plays, the explosive plays, are fewer and further between in the short passing game like it is in college football. But it does have a place in that you can move the sticks, you can stay on the field offensively, which is what the Bills brought Curtis Samuel in for. And I think we haven't quite seen that yet. There is things about this offense. I talked about this with Sean McDermott, that I think this defense, by in 3 or 4 weeks, when they really start to gel together and understand what Sean McDermott wants to do and they start layering the complexity, that they could be better than they are defensively, which they are very good right now. I feel the same way about usage for this Bills offense. We haven't seen Dalton Kincaid really explode yet. And I think that is coming, and I think once it happens, it'll be sort of a domino effect and it'll roll.
Yeah, they haven't needed it.
Curtis Samuel's another piece. He's played 15 snaps in 2 straight games. It reminds me of Isaiah McKenzie. They're going to use him more. They paid him $8 million. He's the highest paid receiver they have on the team. He will get used more. I think they're slow playing his injury, but like, this offense, as much as people, I feel semi-excited about how efficient they've been, it feels like they've been efficient despite having someone break out. Well, no one's broke out yet.
You kind of answered my follow-up question, because I think a lot of this is the answer of the Chiefs losing Pacheco how their offense is built, how do we think the Bills would survive something happening to James Cook? Because
they'd be okay.
I think Cook has been great.
He has been phenomenal.
Yards over expected. He's top 10 in the NFL. He's got a big touchdown run. He's being used to the goal line. They're still not throwing to the ball to him a ton, but when they are, it's worked. So, I've loved him so far through two games. But I'm not there with running back and running the ball and, right, even the short passing game to running backs in the league yet, where I'm thinking the Bills or any team would be devastated if their starting running back went out. I think the replaceability of the position is still there. And by the way, Ray Davis has looked really good so far in limited action. And Ty Johnson is capable of beating Jalen Ramsey in one-on-one coverage, so that helps also. 803-0550 is the phone number. Scott in Rochester, if you're on hold, we'll get to you right when we come back. We got Sal coming up at 7. We'll get into the week, what the Bills we should be focusing on heading into the Jaguars game on Monday Night Football. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy's off today. Nate Geary is in. Stay tuned. This is WGR. Let TRS Heating and Air Conditioning intercept your heating bills. Enter now at WGR550.com for a chance to win $1,200 towards your home heating costs. Don't fumble this opportunity. The contest ends January 5th. TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence, powering tomorrow, comforting today. What do you think the Sabres are going to have on their new mural outside the arena? Team picture they did before the current one, I think. They used to put the team photo on. That team. Maybe that. A shrine to Lindy. Or a shrine to...
No. I don't know. I wonder if maybe they do something else retro. Like they did a lot of the last one was what? Like a lot of goat head players,
the guys that were up there for 13 years.
Yeah. Oh, was it that long?
I think it was that long, or 12 years. Tyler Myers was the most recent player on there, so it's whenever he played. Yeah, Myers, Pominville, Drury, LaFontaine, Perot,
Finneganoff.
I can't believe they're taking a Finneganoff down out there. You gotta have some max representation at the arena somewhere. By the way, the Sabres are asking on Twitter, they're doing a vote. Bobblehead night for fan appreciation. Hey, who should our bobblehead be? Now, I guess I found out, or I realized by clicking the link, it's only players on the current team, but I saw that, let's get it. Let's go nostalgic here. Give me a J.P. Dumont bobblehead night. I'd show up for that. Give me a Max bobblehead night.
I would like it Beck Mellenstein.
You can vote for him.
I'm going to.
Yeah. I can't vote for Teppo Numminen. Teppo bobblehead night, but you can vote for Beck Malenstein if you want. Sal, when we come back, what's coming up for the Bills this week? Who should we be focused on? Also, could we see Joe Andreessen's debut in the NFL on Monday night? We'll get into it all with Sal. Also, kickers. Get some kicker talk on the way next here on WGR.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.